Y'all ready to do some studying tonight?
Yeah.
All right. Hopefully in our praise and our worship tonight and our exhortation, we have been softened and prepared to receive from God a visit. That's what was mentioned here tonight. If you will, pray with me. Father, right now we place you at the highest place. That means no other thought processes will rise above or interfere with your visit with us here tonight. We calm our spirits, open our hearts to your spirit, to your word, to your instruction, your direction. Reveal yourself here tonight through this tongue, through their ears, and through your understanding to us. And for that, we'll give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Everybody that agrees says amen.
Amen.
I had somebody instruct me or suggest to me that I give an uplifting teaching tonight. And of course, the opposite of that is, what have I been doing? But I'm not asking that. I'm saying, if it's God's word and if it's his presence, that's all it can be. She said, I've never heard God say, oh, you've been bad and blah, 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 blah. Well, that's right. If we're talking about a negative presentation, God does not know how. Would you agree with that? But do you think that he's a father? And do you think he's a strict father? See, that there was a lot of yeses and then there was not so many yeses. He is a very strict father. It doesn't mean he's a mean one. It means he has his ways and then there are ours and they usually don't mix. My dad used to tell me and many others, I'm going to give you a test. I'm going to tell you the way it is, and if you agree with me, you're smart, and if you don't, I don't think I ever appreciated that, but I can take it from God, my Father, because it's true. I want our directions to be lifted. I want our visions to be lifted. I want our feelings to be lifted. I want our understanding to be lifted. Why else would you study the Word? I mean, I can't understand opening the Word and saying, I think I'll be bummed out tonight. I wouldn't even expect it. If God is angry, we talked about this a little bit last week, but I didn't use the word angry. If we have displeased God, generally we will feel a void. Because if God's presence is not there, we've moved from the center of truth and we feel the void. If he's happy, the void's gone. Would you like for me to explain this? I cannot. I know when God is present and I know when he talks and I know how he feels because I've asked for that over and over. It's foolish for me to be married to my wife and not want to know how she feels. I want to know what she's thinking. I would rather hear her think than talk. Now, why is that? Because most of the time when we talk, we don't usually say what we're really thinking. Or we're trying to color it or soften it or, you know, you understand what I'm saying. I would rather have one good straight look than a mountain of words. That's the way I am with God, and I hope you are that same way. I hope that what we're learning here is to enjoy his presence, and to enjoy his presence doesn't take a lot of calories. Whether it comes through the mouth or where it comes through the feet or where it comes through the arms or whatever. To enjoy God just takes some peace. The presence of God will bring peace. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible or a direction in the Bible that tells this gentleman to go to this place and walk over there and take your peace with you. Give them this word, and if they don't accept you and the word, shake the dust off your feet, take your peace with you and leave. Now, if God would direct that to us, would he not also do the same thing? So he's going to respond to peace by bringing peace, which is a great thought if you'll think about it. If I can just initiate a little bit of peace by casting cares, by trusting, by the things that we learn through the word, then he's going to bring peace and leave it. Is that a good thing? But it takes an effort on our part. According to what I just told you, it takes a receiving. Submit to the blessing. Submit to the blessing. One of the things that We let the simple things. You understand it's the simple things that we miss. It's not the complicated ones. We go around thinking we're so bright and we're looking for these complicated things, but it's the simple ones that cause us to trip. The presence of God incorporates feelings. You believe that? We always want to see God. We sang about that. I want to see you. Well, how many of you have seen God? I got one hand, two. What did he look like? I believe I could back that up scripturally, especially when it says, be careful, you might be entertaining angels. What God looks like is what his word describes. He is awesome, but when I need to see him, he knows better than I. How about feel him? Do you realize how much we're composed of the need to feel? You know, I wake up at night and for whatever reason, if my wife is clear across the bed, I'll just reach over and say, yep, she's there. Then I can go back to sleep. Now, if I reached over there and there wasn't anything there, all of a sudden, what's going on? That's about how simple it is with God. The touch speaks so much. I can just, you know, is this a touch? What does it mean? Huh? It probably doesn't mean a lot, but it means a lot. It's not really going a direction, it's fulfilling a need. Right? We have a need to be touched and to touch. God knows that. It's built into his presence. We should feel that. We should look for that, and we should also receive it. We should also know that it's built into us to need the touch. Guess what's in him? He needs our touch once in a while, right? I picked up a crazy marriage quiz. Whoever wrote it didn't think it was too crazy, I'm sure. But some of the questions were, would my wife rather have this great gift or hold hands with me? Well, her answer is both. Right? To fill it out, though, you know what the guy wants, so you have to put touch. I got to thinking about that. You think and you think and you think, or maybe I do anyway. And you analyze, is that the truth? Would I rather have a gift? Well, of course it's the truth. I would rather have my wife's touch than a gift any day of the week, any moment of the day. It's much more valuable. And the thing of it is, it doesn't get old. The canker worms don't eat it. You understand that rust doesn't form. And it's actually better than the day we met. That gets better. If that's the way God has built in to a relationship, it must follow a pattern that he has designed. And it must have come from him. So what I can look forward to is my relationship with God. As I seek his presence, as I enjoy his presence, that gets better and it gets richer and it gets more sure until the day that I spend full time, all time, non-interrupted with him. That can't be until I get out of this interruption. Amen? Now, I'm not going to go into a lot of that. I would love to do an X-rated teaching one time based on God's design of marriage and point to the relationship we are to have with God. It would be so real, but I would probably get thrown out of every church in the nation. But the thing that we've made unspeakable is the design that God made as a relationship with us to him. If we could get that down, maybe that we could speak about things a little better. We sing about God visiting us tonight. If I were to say, y'all come over to the house, we're going to have a party tonight, my wife would go, and she would probably do that because she's not prepared for the visit. Why? Well, there's some things out of place. Although, they were in pretty good shape when we left. But anyway, even the yard was pretty good. I want to talk tonight about, are we ready for the visit? 10 ways to return or to stay in the presence of God. Our preparation is going to determine God's visitation. Does that make sense? If I don't bring peace to my mind in the middle of any turmoil, and by the way, I have to do that standing right here, after you walk in, after we've done everything, the bath, everything, get ready to come to church tonight, I have to then put my mind in the position of hearing. Hearing what? The voice of God, the presence of God, the direction of God. I have to prepare, knowing that if I do the preparation, the visitation will be there. You get a little frustrated with life going on, and you begin to make decisions. Now, I know y'all don't do that, so I'll just tell you I do that. And this morning, I had in my spirit that I had this goal, when I reach this goal right here, and it was going to be, it had to be tied with a dollar figure, that I'm going to do this. When I reach this dollar figure, this is what I'm going to do. And I turned to say that to my wife, because I feel like there's a head of the house. If I feel something in my spirit, I dictate it. It's the way it is. You decree it. If you're going to be king, if you're going to be Lord in the one, in the pattern of the one you follow, then you must be able to decree. And as I turned and started to decree that, the word was right here. God said, don't. Okay, I won't. Why? He said, because the devil will fulfill the dollar amount and you'll be out of time. Just like that. I said, thank you, Lord. Kept me out of a trap. Did I have the right to decree it? Yes, God gave me the right. See this? He gave me that right to decree. Then he gave me an ear to hear. He gave me a mind to understand. It's not enough to have my steps ordered. I have to have my decrees ordered. Or I will get what I decree. You understand what I'm saying? Preparation for a visitation. What kind of visitation? The will of God. The presence of God was walking with me, or I was walking in the presence of God, leaving that house, turning to everything that I was doing. Do you understand what I'm saying? Every thought was now being directed. We didn't think so. You had the wrong thought. No, I didn't have the wrong thought. I was out of time. There's a difference. There's nothing wrong with me saying at a certain dollar amount, I'm going to do this. But what that does is open up a trap of timing. Why don't I just wait and listen for God to say, it's time? Why can't I do that? Well, because I don't spend enough time preparing for the next visiting word, corrective or directive word. I think that I'm just floating out here like a weed seed, ready to be planted. No, I'm not a weed. I am a seed, but I'm not a weed. I'm a harvest. You just hadn't even seen the crop yet, and I'm already the harvest. When I was born, I was birthed with a harvest. That's the plan of God. To stay or be prepared. To return or to stay in the presence of God. Number one, I must honor God in all that I do. He's really not interested in staying around somebody that doesn't honor him. I honor him over myself. I told you that little story this morning because what I did is I put my wish aside and honored his. And if you don't think he won't honor that, you're mistaken. You bring God honor, and he just beams with blessing. Because what that honor does is bless him. And when you bless him, it's like touching the blessing button. I'll run you down with blessing. Men will give it. They'll chase you down and give it to you. I'll bless you with health. I'll bless you going in, coming out. I'll bless you in and out, up and down, all around. I'll bless you. You can't run away if you just honor me. You've got to honor him over self. You've got to honor him over everything. Everything. Did you know God will punch you one time and say, what if I do this? You better say, great. What if I don't do this? Great. Well, what if I take this away? Don't take it. I'll give it to you. Well, what if I give you this? Okay. Sometimes that's the hardest one. What he's fixing to give to you, he tells you, you're going to, oh, okay, great. You've got to honor him above all things. One of the biggest downfalls we have, one of the biggest destroyers of visitation of God, he talked about a little bit earlier, and that is who I'm honoring with my tongue. It's hard for me to say, no, it's hard for me to believe that God is blessing if I'm always going around saying, I just don't make enough money. I just don't have enough money. I just don't make enough money. The bills are not going to, there's too much month at the end of money. Just every kind of little cute thing that I have been adopting from the world. And every time I do that, I'm honoring the need over the giver. I can't do that. I think the other day I was kind of limping and my wife said, what's wrong? Nothing. Didn't know I was limping. Thank you for telling me. What am I going to do? Stop and say, let me tell you my problems. She don't want to hear that anyway. She wants to hear, I'm healed. That's what she wants to hear from me, because that's the truth. Anything else is not the truth. Oh, what's wrong? Nothing. Not a thing. That was a lie. What was a lie? What I just acted. That's not my belief. My belief is I'm healed. That other thing was just a flinch. Don't worry. Don't take any stock in that. I must honor God above feelings, thoughts, wants, and wishes. Take every thought into captivity Do you know? Do you have a lot of thoughts during the day? Even now? Hope they're good. The Bible says take every thought into captivity. Do you think that might be a full-time job? If my God tells me that I have to take every thought into captivity, then I must know I've been given a full-time, lifelong, everlasting assignment. I also must understand that there would be no need for me to take thoughts into captivity if they were all wholesome. I had a good guy. He was up in his mid-40s, I think, when he got saved after a really rugged life. And he was coming every morning to where I was, and we were studying. And one day he came in there and he said, "Stan, I didn't sleep last night." I said, "What's going on?" He said, "Every time I went to sleep, I'd have this nasty dream. And I'd fall out on the floor and cry to God, 'God, I'm sorry, I'm sorry.'" I said, "What in the world are you sorry for? Those nasty thoughts, I never wanted to have those." I said, "Do you think God knows about that? Do you think He's pleased that you're sorry?" "Yes, but He'd be more pleased if you knew you were forgiven, that you took Him serious about all of that was taken care of. And you take that thought into captivity and just say, 'No more. I curse that.'" I have every right to be a curse to everything that's of Satan. Do you think light's a curse to darkness? I'm a walking curse. Depends on which side of the fence you're on. I want to be against those things that are against God, no matter what they are. I want to be a curse to those things. If I'm serving others, I'm honoring God. Let me tell you why service is an honor to God. I'll give you I won't even go to the scripture. I'm going to show you this. If I realize that God's in this place, in total control of this place, attempting to bless everybody in this place, and I serve you in some way, have I become part of the blessing? Have you become part of the blessed? Where is the negative in this? If He asks me to hand you some money, well, it's His money anyway. And I've got promises concerning a seed that I plant. One of the most powerful promises in the Bible. When you wake up in the morning and you look out, as sure as the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, the law of seed time and harvest will be in effect. My word, what other promise do you need? Bless somebody because it opens a blessing gate. Serve somebody, it'll open a serving gate. But those are simple maths. Let's go one step further. When you do it as unto the Lord. And you bypass the face, the attitude, you know, that everybody is going to receive you with thanksgiving. So whatever you do, bypass that individual. If the individual gets blessed, so be it, but I'm doing it as unto the Lord. Whether they say thank you or not, whether they appreciate it or not, makes no difference. I just touch that blessing button again. Number two, respect God. Don't just honor Him, respect Him. What's the difference? Well, the difference is that I can honor you to your face and disrespect you to your back. I want to do both up front and to your back. I want to respect God. How do I respect Him? Well, number one, I must understand that He's earned my respect. I'm not just giving this. He has earned the respect. How did He earn it? Well, number one, He's never failed. That passes all of us, right? So I can respect Him above myself, anybody. Because He's never failed. He has never lied. Another reason I can respect Him is because however He, and you need to latch onto this, however He's dealing with me at the moment, He's dealing because He understands me. See, the good part about God is I don't have to sit down and say, "Let's share," and spend the next hour listening to something I didn't want to hear in the first place. Do you ever deal that with anybody? "Can I share something with you?" And blah, 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 blah. You're going, "Oh." See, that's necessary. But what isn't necessary is to do that with God. If He's dealing with me, it's because He already has talked to me and I didn't even know it. He's analyzed me. I didn't know it. He understands me and I hadn't even figured it out yet. And all of a sudden He reveals Himself in situations, in word, in joy, and whatever. Doesn't that demand some respect from Him? He's treating us with such respect. See, we have a hard time with this one. If If I walked up to a person and I said, you are truth, you'd go, yeah. If you want to help yourself understand God, understand this and word. God doesn't heal, He is heal. God doesn't bless, He is bless. God doesn't tell the truth, He is truth. That's one of His names. Do you understand? These banners are nice, but they don't even, my word, they don't even touch the surface. He doesn't do, He is. And if we could get that down, if I can understand that He is truth, then when I walk up and bump Him, I've just been doused with truth. And truth will set you free. Isn't that what the Bible says? We think it's just, we just got a big jug of joy. No, 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 you got a big jug of truth put on you. And that made you free, set you to joy. In Psalms 40 verse 4, it says, blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Do you understand that the minute we turn to anything but God, we turn to a lie? You understand that? Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Don't respect anything but the truth. Don't respect anybody that's saying anything but the truth. Turn. Why do I say that? Because if you start having fellowship with anything but truth, you're not going to be in the presence of God. Your house is not prepared for the visitation of the truth. I will not use familiar scriptures tonight, very much anyway. I look for unfamiliar. When you respect God, number three, you're respecting word. When you respect God, you are placing word above all. There's only one answer. Let me see your Bible. There's nothing any deeper than this. Nothing. Nothing has more in it on less pages than anything you can touch. This is not Christian fiction. I hate that terminology. Absolutely. Christians don't deal in fiction. If you got it, burn it. Fiction is not the truth. If you want to teach parables, teach a parable. That's taking a truth that you enjoy on a daily basis or you work on a daily basis and using it to establish a written truth. That's what Jesus taught. Anything. She brought home a movie the other day and started watching that thing. And that was such a... You know, I got up and left the room. I'm not staying. Animals were demons and I don't know what all. And you're going, what in the... You know what I think about most? What kind of mind wrote that down? What kind of torment? I'm not kidding you now. When you think of these monsters and you see everything, the things on screen, what, do you want to trade places with the mind that saw that? No. Y'all are weird enough. Just stand alone, you don't need any monsters. We don't need monsters. Word, if you have word, if you're taking word, which is the written God, okay? It's a piece of Him, it's not all of Him. But if you're taking that and you're applying it to yourself, you don't like other applications. It starts going against the grain is a good way to say it. It starts rubbing you the wrong way and you're going, oh man, you know what this is doing? That's attacking what I believe. That's attacking what I understand. You know, I'm not going there. I'm not going there. Word is your only answer. Word, which is also the name of God, right, will respond quickly and correctly. Nothing else will. Take word, prepare for the visitation. You go to the word not to get smart, because the visitation of God is going to make you smart. You go to the word to receive a visitation. How much word do I have to read? Oh, you must read 3 chapters a day. When you are prepared to visit with God, 2 words may be all you get. And God can visit for a while. And all of a sudden, your mind expands to places you've never been before. You can't understand that. You just have to enjoy it. The presence of God causes these things to happen. When we are prepared correctly, we must honestly feel that the Word is the only thing that I will respond to. It's the only response I desire. Keep me out of a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble. God will give you the desires of your heart. God will give you the desires and your heart will follow. Doesn't say you'll get the desires that are inside your heart until God puts them there. Now you've got assurance. In Psalms 33:4, it says this, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works." All his work is done in, where's his work done? Now I want you to study this little short verse because it'll set you free. If you're speaking truth, his work is happening. If you know the right guy said the right thing and it's true, and you follow that, you say that, you believe that, his works are done in truth. You know what the church has become terribly afraid of? The truth. Terribly afraid of using the truth. I might offend somebody. Do it. Jesus said he came and he was an offense. Be one. Don't be ashamed. Just be an offense. In many cases, you'll be set free. Some you may not want, but you'll always be set free because his works will be done in truth. And it also says it'll set them free. So it doesn't make any difference if you see it right at that moment. Just speak the truth in love. Speak the truth the way you'd want it spoken to you. Let God do the work. Number four, breathe. Just breathe. I taught a sermon one time that I preached was on a scuba thing that we learned a long time ago. And that's stop, breathe, think, and then act. It was the steps that give you life or save your life if you're diving underwater. If something happens, stop. Don't do anything yet. Stop. Breathe. What are you breathing in? Breath of life, right? That's what that air is under that water. It's a breath of life. You don't believe it, you take it out and breathe. Breathe. What happens? This is what I said. This is what you're going to do. You're going to breathe in the Spirit of God, the breath of God. You're going to breathe that in. If you'll just stop and give Him place. What did I say? Tonight when you walk in here, you're in prayer. You stop and you stop. You close your eyes and you breathe. There you are, God. I'm a sweet smell to Him. Did you know the Bible says that? Yeah, your prayers go up as a sweet savor, a sweet smell, sweet taste. Must be something from His heart. We're designed in His likeness and image, right? So whatever touches His taste buds, He tastes and smells the same. Breathe. Breathe His truth. Breathe His presence. It must be more important than the next breath. You want a marriage test? Start with the marriage you have with the Father. Would you rather have a gift? Would you rather have the fun? Would you rather have your next breath? Or would you rather have His breath? How important is it to you? We were singing that one time in a song, and God said, "Really? If I took your breath, would I still be important? Where did I get that breath? Did He not breathe that into me, the breath of life? It's His breath, is it not? The cool part is He made that where He can take the breath and I still have life. Breathe Him in. By the way, if I'm taking in the Word, that is my breath. If you don't believe it, start speaking. The breath will convert into Word and minister. He'll work in truth. Number five, comfort. Where do you seek your comfort? Where is the most important chair in your house and who's it for? You prepared for a visit? If I come to your house, are you going to give me the best chair? Or are you going to take the best chair and say, sit over there? If God comes in, does He have to fight for your chair? Does He have to fight for the throne? If He visits you in the bed, do you say, get out of here, it's my bed. I got to sleep. Don't you know what time it is? Is our comfort important? Or is His comfort the most important thing? Pleasing Him makes Him extremely comfortable. So much that He just starts to flow. The last few mornings I've been awakened really early and I can't figure out why. Don't make any difference why. Enjoy. Don't sit, oh no. I remember my mom used to wake up and she'd say, I've been awake for 2 hours. Oh no, you haven't. You'd have clawed your eyes out if you'd been awake for 2 hours without sleeping. You're in that zone where you're sleeping, awake, and sleeping, awake, and sleeping. That means the clock's just not turning. Wake up. Praise God a little bit. Enjoy the presence. Maybe He just wants a touch. Maybe He's waiting for you to stop fighting and just say, pick the cover up and say, come on in. Let's lie together for a while. I'll hold you, you hold me. Let's enjoy each other. His joy and pleasure must come before ours. Once in a while. Often. It doesn't make any difference. Let's don't put a schedule on it. As many times as he wants to interrupt my comfort, he's welcome. If I can't say that, I don't enjoy him. This is the Genesis 2:24. In Genesis 2:24, the scripture says this, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Do you think that's God's design for union? Do you think that's God's design for marriage? Are you the bride of Christ? As Christ and God, even though they're the Trinity, they're one. Until I become one with him, I haven't married him. Until I've given up my flesh, my comfort, I have not enjoyed true comfort. Number six, work. Now here's the bad, this is a bad word in church too. Work. It's a bad word in church. Because everybody wants a free gift. They want absolutely no effort involved. God said this in another scripture. He said, or not God didn't, but a man with the inspiration of God said this, "I can't give you anything unless it costs me something." Why was that put in there? Well, we needed a few extra lines and fill the book. It was put in there because we need to understand that if I'm going to get God, it's going to cost me something. Well, how often? Now you're counting. Now you're counting. Why are you doing that? Are you challenging him? Now I'm going to give you 10 times and after that, no more? Yeah, go with that and see what happens. Just go with that one. Here's our life's work to please him. If I'm going to sit down with a husband and wife, I'm going to tell the husband the first thing. Counseling session, first thing. Husband, you'll never make a good husband until you learn to be a good wife. If you can't be husband, if you can't be a bride to Christ, then why are you expecting your bride to be a bride to you? When you don't, you wouldn't know when it happened because you've never done it. You learn to serve. You learn to make his every wish come true. Try that with Jesus and see what happens with your wife. You got some promises now that work right here. Our life's work is to please him. And let me tell you where we should be as Christians. Can you give me your heart, open your heart just a second? If one of my little granddaughters suffers, it touches my heart so quick, I'm going to hurt something. And God told me one time, is your heart touched when mine's touched? If I'm hurt a little bit or displeased a little bit, do you worry about that? What are you saying, Stan? Simple. His displeasure should be our softest touch. It touches the nerve quicker than anything. If I know that picking up this glass of water is good, it won't. But if it displeases God, then I'm not picking up that water. Because I'm not going to see what happens in his heart to his demeanor if I displease him. If we would take the commandments in the Bible and tear them up, we'd still be okay if our only desire was to please God, to touch his heart correctly instead of incorrectly. The minute I see a little different look on his face, I got to figure out what it is and don't do that again. My life's work is to cause him pleasure. And I need to be the softest. If you can touch me anywhere, let it be God's heart that touches. Let it be God's heart that touches me. That's my decree. That's my desire. I may look at you and say, so? Don't be surprised if I do that. Like, I don't really care because I'm known as a fairly hard-hearted guy. But I'm not. I'm not hard-hearted. I have a lot of discipline. But if I see that God is displeased, I'm going to back up. Not because I'm afraid, because I don't want to hurt him. Please, get in your heart. You don't want to hurt God in any way. And you are prepared for a visitation. You are prepared. In Psalms chapter 90, verse 17, it says this, use your word to touch tonight, Lord. And let the beauty of our Lord, or the Lord our God, be upon us. And establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. The beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. So what really pleases him? His beauty reflected in us. And establish, God establish the work of our hands upon us. What's the work of my hands? pleasing Him. His beauty be reflected through us. Are you beautiful in God's eyes? It doesn't make any difference what we look like. If our heart is right, we can answer instantly, yes, I am. How do you know that? Visitation. Visitation. God's coming to visit those that please Him. Why? Can't resist me. He can't resist me. I am irresistible. How do I know that? The Word. And He can't go against His Word. If it teaches me that, then I can live in that realm. And I get thoroughly beautiful because I realize I'm beautiful in His eyes. Now all of a sudden He can establish the work of my hands because the work of my hands is to please Him, which makes me more beautiful and I look more like Him. And there we go. I got a circle I like to be caught in. Man, I'd like to go some places with this. My wife holds up these little pieces of paper saying I need to quit. Did y'all see her do that? Because she knows I didn't bring a watch. I'm going to start quitting. I'm not finished, but I'm going to start to quit. Seemed like I saw somebody do that Sunday. Several times. He's not here, so we can talk about it. When my mom used to hold up that for my dad, it meant he had another 20 minutes. She would say now, and he didn't care. God's fun. He wants us to be fun to Him. He doesn't really care if we're fun to anybody else, just as long as we're fun to Him. Nothing encourages me more, nothing should encourage you more, to know how beautiful you are in the sight of God. You can be ugly if you want to. What's that joke my dad used to tell? He used to say, so this guy met this opera singer. She's all made up, dressed. She sang really good. Really good. And when they went out, she'd sing all the time. And anyway, to make a long story short, they got married. They went on their honeymoon, and the next morning, her hair was messed up, and she was ugly. And he looked at her and said, "Sing quick, honey, sing quick." I'm glad that God doesn't look on the external. Aren't you? Did I miss it? Okay. I'm not good at telling jokes. Prepare for the visitation of God. Prepare. Get your house in order. Your house is the temple of God. That's what the Bible says. Get it in order. Put the welcome signs out. Put the perfume on. Don't worry about your physical look, but get that heart right. He'll visit the heart. It doesn't make any difference if the rest of you, it doesn't make any difference about the rest of you. And when He visits your heart, it will no longer make any difference to you about the rest of you. Will you want to let it go to pot? No. I'm not saying that. I'm saying it will not be. You will understand that your looks are not the desire of His heart. Or your works of your hand is not the desire of His heart. It's the work of your presentation. Here I am, God. Are you bold enough to walk into the presence of God and say, "Here I am. I know you've been wanting to see me. Here I am. I know you wanted me to pray to you. Here I am. I know you wanted to have a conversation. Let's talk. You do the talking, I'll do the listening. That's the best conversation. What do you want to hear, God? You want to hear me say, "Yes, sir"? That's fine. You got it. I'll keep it simple. Yep. Sometimes I think it was a mistake for God to allow us to do our heads this way. Should have just gone this way. You know how much happier we'd be? How much freer we'd be? Everything is yes and amen. Stand with me. To whoever asked me to make an uplifting message, I hope that met the criteria. One of these days, God will ask me to preach to you, but until then, I'll teach to you. Okay? That means y'all have to get in and grab. You can't get all excited with me. Do you understand how excited I am right now? I really am. You know, the pastor says I've preached myself happy. Well, I just did the same thing. Whether you see that or not makes no difference. I got the goosebumps and I'm ready. I'm ready to date God right now. Let's go parking, God. Oh, y'all know what that means. Well, y'all get quiet. Look at this. Yes, I did. She said, "He didn't say that." Yeah. Okay, I think we're through. All hearts clear? How many of you received some kind of word Sunday? How many of you begin to act on it? I went home Sunday and I got my notebook out and I got me all, y'all may not remember what the word came to me. I used to do this all the time. I never went to bed without a notepad on my stand because inevitably God would wake me up and I'd be looking for that paper. I remember one night, it was on a Saturday, an early Sunday morning. God started talking to me. I turned the light on, wrote this down, turned the light off. No more got down. Here comes another one. So get up and write it down, turn the light off. I did this about 4 or 5 times, and Connie said, "Let's just get up." I said, "No, I'm through now." And I was, right? Yeah, she was wide awake then. She needed to write some things down. Not those kind of things. Long for God to speak to you. I can't recommend anything stronger than for God to interrupt your thought process and say something to you that you value so important, so much, that you have to write it down. Don't be particular about where to write it down. Write it on your hand. Write it in your Bible. Write it on somebody else's Bible. Doesn't make any difference. Write, don't do that. Write it down. Write it down. Go back and look later. Go back and look again. Look again. Because if you'll write it down and look at it 2 or 3 times, you'll remember it forever. And then when you're reading the Bible, there it is. You read the Bible, there it is. It's that nugget that God placed in you. Do you know that God said He's still writing the Word on your heart? Well, we've got to write something down once in a while if He's writing on our heart. Because it's a little hard to flip out the heart. It's not one of those little things you plug in the computer, you know. I wish it were. It'd be easy. But we have to deliver it ourselves. Write it. Write it. Many, many moons ago, God spoke to me a word very simple. I wrote it in my Bible. I need to bring that Bible. It's all messed up now, but it says, I wrote in there the 11th commandment. Thou shalt not sweat it. That was the way God told me. Thou shalt not sweat it. I will always remember the 11th commandment because God gave it to me and I wrote it in His Word. It became part of His Word where I could read it. Y'all have some of those? Lock onto them. Let them grow you. Amen. Father, we thank You for this night tonight. We thank You for this time together. Let it be a communion time where it feeds, restores, and heals. Because it was Your Word, because it was Your will, they came to receive, they received. I came to receive, I received, and I thank You for it. Let us not walk out here the same. Let these nuggets that have been put in us go home with us tonight. Bother us enough to act on them. Let us adopt them and let them become the stepping stones of our life. Carry us from this place to the next till we hear Your Word again, Lord. Let Your presence touch and heal. Touch and heal. Restore Your people to the place that You've designed. Restore what has been stolen, what's become rusty. Be their God. We are Your people. We proclaim that now that it's done, it's finished. It's what Jesus said on the cross. It is finished. Now we've done this tonight. We need to say it is finished. We receive it in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees says amen. Amen. Be blessed. Thank you.